want to stand with me, I'm going to turn to the word of the Lord today. I know that we've already had such a wonderful service, but I want to share what I believe the Lord has given to me for us today. And as we go throughout the service today, I want you to, if you haven't already, I just want you to begin to pray about what it is that the Lord would have you to give today in our offering. And if you're a guest, you're under no compulsion to give today. I'm not trying to compel you to give, but I do want to encourage you, if you want to join in with us, if you want to partner with us and stories just like that, to make more stories like that. And also, we help missions works around the world. In fact, I want to tell you that this month, we're going to host several missionaries on Monday night for Monday night prayer. And one of them is ministering in a country that I can't name, because it's not to where they have the legal ability to do so. So they can't be on video, can't take pictures. So they're going to join us on Monday night, and we're going to bless them. I haven't really told them that, but when they come, we're going to give them an offering, and we're going to bless them, and we're going to minister to them as they join us for prayer. But today's a special day, so I want you to pray about what God would have for you to give in this offering. But I want to turn to the book of Exodus. We're going to Old Testament, Exodus chapter 14. And this is kind of a favorite passage of mine. I love to study the Israelites. This is really the Israelite, you know, journey out of Egypt and to the promised land. And the passage we're picking up in Exodus 14, this is right after they have crossed through the Red Sea, where Moses has stretched forth his staff and the waters have parted and they walk through. And this is what it says in Exodus chapter 14 and verse 29. But the children of Israel walked upon dry land in the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians. And Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore. And Israel saw that great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians. And the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. My message title today is Miracle in the Middle. Miracle in the Middle. You can be seated this afternoon. It's a big day today for our church body and family. It's a day that we return our sacrificial offering unto God, and we begin to pray in earnest about the next year of our Let's Imagine Building Fund commitment. And just another point of clarification, this card is one for you to take home and begin to pray over. And if you may be like me, where you are afraid you're going to lose a card, you can leave it here and we'll have them available in a few weeks. But if you haven't been able to keep up to date with what's happening on Let's Imagine, please go to the website under the Let's Imagine tab, and there's a full video update there to keep you in the know of everything that's happening. But in the month of February, we've been talking about kingdom blessings, and we've been talking about our finances and specifically submitting those to the Lord. And Pastor John and Pastor Kinto spoke about the principles of tithing and offering and giving. In the last 2 weeks, I've preached through some difficult passages of Scripture where Jesus said some pretty straightforward and stark things about serving God versus serving the love of material possessions and money. And so today, really what I want to declare to us is that when we give, this is a way that we can do this in an act of defiance against our culture. Because culture says that the way to move forward in life, the way to elevate in life, is to amass more money, more material possessions, to move yourself forward, to make your life better, to make yourself better. So what we're doing, yes, we are giving. On the one hand, we are giving, and this money is going to go towards missions efforts around the world. It's going to go towards other churches that are being planted. It's going to go to help churches here in the Detroit area. It's going to go to help people that are suffering from abuse in their home. It's going to go to people in our community. It's going to go out of these four walls, not necessarily stay in here for our church function. So number one, we give because we're going to be a blessing. But I also want to tell you that we give because it's a way that we can submit our heart and our life and our mind and our spirit and, yes, our money to the Lord. Because how do I make sure that I'm not ensnared and entrapped by this culture of consumerism? Well, one of the best ways to do it is to invest into the kingdom of God. Because culture and my flesh will never want me to give. My flesh will never say, yes, giving is going to be good. No, my flesh says, well, here's something else you need. Have you considered this? Well, what about this? So today, as an act of defiance of the spirit of this world and in an act of submission unto God as a unified body of Christ, we give. We're going to come together and give so that others can live a life that they couldn't imagine, that others can have access. You know, there are people right now, as this morning so easily, I made the decision, which Bible do I want to bring to church? And yet there are people that yet in their life have never been able to put their hands on the Word of God, have never been able to open the Bible and look at it for themselves. But there are missionaries right now that are smuggling the Word of God into countries where it is illegal. And the only way that they can do that is if we in churches just like ours today will give so that we can say, you know what? I'll buy a few Bibles. I'll send some Bibles into that Access Challenge Nation. That's what's happening. When you give today, there are people that will read the Word of God for the very first time, because we have a spirit of sacrifice. And I recognize that in this pulpit over the years have stood the best preachers you can ever bring. You've heard the most amazing preachers that have been brought in to preach about giving and sacrifice. And Pastor Hoffman was a masterful preacher. A masterful preacher to understand the Word of God. His knowledge of the Word of God was just unparalleled. His ability to bring in passages and knowledge, it's so incredible. And there will be times in the future that we bring people of different perspectives, that we bring people that can share testimonies. And I'm not denigrating that. We will do that. But today I felt that I needed to be the one to stand before you and preach about this offering. And I want to declare to you today that what we need in our church, what we need in our time, what we need at this hour is a miracle. We need a miracle. Now, when I say that, it may cause a little concern in your mind, because usually when someone says, I need a miracle, what they mean is I'm out of options. Usually when someone says, please pray, we need a miracle, that's connected to something where they don't know where else to turn. They've tried everything else. They've exhausted all their options. And now it's only by the grace of God. That's the only way they can move forward. But today I'm not here because things are bad. No, we're blessed. Today I'm not here saying that we need a miracle because there's something tragic happening in our finances or something tragic happening in our church. No, I'm saying that we need a miracle because I have a desire to do everything right. I want to plan things out the right way. I want to be wise about our finances. I want to make sure that we're doing all the right things and that we're taking all the right steps. But at the end of the day, more than I want to do what seems right to myself, I recognize, and I want you to recognize, that in my life and in our church, more than anything else, I want to know, God, what do you want us to do? What would the Spirit of God have us to do today? So I can't stand here and be a good orator. I can't stand here and say, well, we're going to have the coolest music, and that's what is going to make us grow, and we've got cool music. I can't stand here and say, you know, we're going to have the best children's department in the world, although it's amazing. I'm telling you that if we're going to do anything for God in this city, it's going to be because we have a miracle by the power of God. I'm standing here to tell you today, I believe in the miracle working power of God, and that's the only thing that will change our world. This can't just be a ritual that we do on a Sunday. If you're a guest with us, I'm not going to apologize for getting excited, but I'm not satisfied just to come have church. I want to see something supernatural. You can go anywhere you want to go, but when you come to this place, you need to be changed. I believe that we serve a God that can restore your mind. I believe that we serve a miracle working God, and He's a God that wants to do a miracle. We need a miracle. If we don't have a move of God, this building is just going to be a pretty ornament on DeQuinder Road. But I'm not satisfied to come and have church as usual. I'm not satisfied just to preach a nice message and for you to give me a handshake and then walk away. No, I want God to move. Why? Because there's broken people. There are hurting people. There are people that need something supernatural. Yes, they've tried everything else. They've been everywhere else. They've lived every other life. But what they need is a miracle from God. What you need is a miracle. Yes, please educate yourself and be successful in your career, but you need a miracle. We need a miracle. Oh God, we need a miracle. We need a miracle. We need a miracle. The Bible says in Mark 16, he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Verse 17, these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak in new tongues. And it says they went forth and they begun to do the work of the Lord. So I'm telling us that if we're going to do something, if we're going to change our city, if your family is going to be changed, it's going to be only by the power and the grace of God. If we do this, but there's no signs. If we do this, but there's no move, then what are we doing? So if you're here today and you're new with us, what you witnessed earlier in this service is us recognizing, hey, time out. Yes, we like to sing good songs, but there is something supernatural taking place. We got to pause for a moment and allow the Spirit of God to do what only He can do. What you felt was not just good music. What you felt today, if you got some goosebumps on your arm, if you were saying, man, what is this? I feel emotional. Let me just tell you what it is. It's the Spirit of God moving in this place. You've not come to a dead church. You've not come to a dry church. You come to a church where we believe we're going to do something for God, and it's going to be by the Spirit of God, because we need a miracle. If we're going to make it in these last days, we need a miracle. If we're going to do something for the kingdom of God, we need a miracle. We need a miracle. I want signs and wonders in the name of Jesus. And this is a place where miracles happen. Why are people clapping right now? Because they've seen it. They've seen a miracle. There are people, there are marriages that God has restored that nobody else would look at it and say it can be successful. There are people in here that they've been addicted to drugs, and yet here they are, and you would never know. Why? Because it's a miracle. That's why they don't look like what they've been through, because it's a miracle. There are people in here that I could never do the things that God can do. There are people in here that look great and they look wonderful. And you say, how is that possible? It's a miracle. It's not me. There are people that have been abused, but they have joy and they have peace. Even when the world says, that's not possible. You're supposed to be broken. You're supposed to be dead. You're not supposed to have a family. You're not supposed to have a future. There are people that have had abortions and yet they're in this place saying, God, I love you. God, I need you. There are people that have been through unimaginable circumstances, and here they are. Why? It's a miracle. It's not me. It's not anything I can do. There's no psychiatrist that can do what God can do. There's no doctor that can do what God can do. There's nobody like my God. If you believe that, can you just give God some praise? Why are we excited? Because you're witnessing a miracle. You see a miracle with your own eyes. There are people that should not be here. There are futures that God is writing that never should have existed. Oh, it's a miracle. Oh, can we just pause and give God some praise? Oh, can we just pause for a moment and thank God? You're a miracle worker. You're a miracle worker. Thank you, Jesus. We need a miracle. Not just when times are bad. We need a miracle. Oh, God, help me deliver this message today. Oh, God, help us get this today. Help us understand this today. Lord, I want a supernatural move. God, more than I want anything else, I want your Spirit. Let us have a desire for your Spirit more than ever before. God, I can't come in the ritual and just come and do my thing. I can't just come and sing three songs and preach a message. No, I want your Spirit to move, God. I want your Spirit to move, God. I want structure, but I want your Spirit. I want things to be in order, but I want your Spirit. I don't want to offend anybody, but I want your Spirit. I want your Spirit, oh God. I don't care if I look crazy. I don't care if people think about me. I want your Spirit, oh Lord. I don't care if I am ever a TikTok preacher or people think I say the right things. I don't care if I seem eloquent. I don't care if I seem foolish. I want your Spirit, oh God. Let this church know that I want your Spirit. I want you to move. I want miracles, God. I'll pray until it happens. I'll intercede until it happens. But I want miracles. We need a miracle. We need a miracle. Oh, Jesus. We need a miracle. We need a miracle. Oh, Jesus. But here's something you need to understand about the way we view miracles. Most of the time, when we say miracle, it's synonymous with solution. When we say miracle, we think it's fixed. When we say miracle, we think it's the end of what was happening. It's the end of the situation. It's the resolution. But what I just read to you, it's an incredible passage where the Israelites walked through the Red Sea on dry ground. But what's interesting, think about this. They don't walk through the Red Sea into the Promised Land. What was on the other side of the Red Sea? Not the Promised Land, not the land of milk and honey, not the land of blessing, not the land of promise. No, what was on the other side was the wilderness. They came out of the Red Sea into their trial. They came out of the Red Sea and they were still in the middle. They were still going through it. Things were not fixed. Things were not solved. The miracle of the parting of the Red Sea, although it was incredible, it was a miracle in the middle. It was a miracle in the middle. I'm preaching a very simple message today. I'm telling you that even though your situation may be far from over, even though you may be in a season of struggle, even though when you leave this place, you may go back to the exact same difficulty that you came in from, even if you feel like it's a long ways away, you're in the midst of a big season, and your prayer is, I want the miracle of the solution. Even if you're going through it today, let me just tell you that in the midst of what you're going through, we serve a God that can work a miracle in the middle. It doesn't have to be solved for him to work a miracle. It doesn't have to be fixed for him to work a miracle. Because sometimes God works a miracle to get you out of it. Other times he works a miracle in the middle to help you get through it. There are some things that you will go through. There are some things you will have to struggle through. But my God is able to do a miracle in the middle of it. I'm preaching a miracle in the middle today. I'm not saying that at the end, at the solution. I'm talking a miracle in the middle. God wants to step in today. So what did they do? Why are we so excited today? Why are we so jubilant? Why do you see people jumping and shouting and clapping and praising? Why? Well, let's look at what the Bible says. Let's not talk about our culture. Let's look at what the Bible says. Exodus 15. After they get through this, look at this. Exodus 15 and 1. Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. And then he says, the Lord is my strength and song, and he has become my salvation. He is my God. I will prepare him a habitation. I will make a place that he can dwell. My father's God, and I will exalt him. You skip down to verse 20. Look at what someone else says. And Miriam the prophetess, the sister of Aaron, took out a timbrel. She takes out a tambourine with her hand, and all the women went after her with timbrels and dances. And Miriam answered them, saying, ye to the Lord, sing ye to the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. I need you to understand me today. The Israelites, yes, they went through the Red Sea, but they came out into a desert. But they recognized, we're not going to wait until we get to the Promised Land before we begin to sing and shout and give God glory. I'm telling somebody today, just like the Israelites, they were in the middle of the wilderness. They were in the middle of the struggle, but they made a decision. I can get a miracle right in the middle. I can praise God in the middle. I can give God thanks in the middle. I can make a habitation in the middle. So let me ask you, First Church, can you praise him in the middle of a season? Can you praise him when things aren't perfect yet? Can you praise him when you don't have an answer yet? Why? Because he's the God of the miracle in the middle. God, you don't have to fix it for me to give you glory. You don't have to solve it for me to give you praise. I'll give you praise even in the middle. I'll give you praise in my bad days. I'll give you praise when I don't know what to do. That's the God that can work a miracle in the middle. Oh, I want to say, if you need a miracle in the middle, just begin to give God some praise. Can you praise him in this house? God, I need a miracle. But I'm going to praise you in the middle of it. I'm going to praise you in spite of what I see. I'm going to praise you in my wilderness. I'm going to praise you in my desert. I'm going to praise you when it's difficult. That's the God of the miracle in the middle. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Miracle in the middle. Miracle in the middle. We've got a lot of work ahead of us as a church, and I understand that. We've got a whole building to build. And guess what? On the day that we break ground, we're going to give praise. On the first day that we dedicate our new sanctuary, oh, we're going to be so excited. And we're going to be jubilant. But you know what? I don't want to wait until that day before I begin to give God praise. Right now, we're in the middle of it. We don't know exactly all the things, how they're going to pan out. We got a lot of questions yet, but I'm just determined right now, God, thank you for what you're doing at First Church. God, I don't have to break ground for me to give you praise. I don't have to be standing in a brand new sanctuary for you to give you glory.
God, I don't have to see all my family in church yet to give you praise for it. I don't understand it yet. God, my marriage doesn't have to be restored yet. I'm going to praise you in the middle. I'm going to praise you in the trenches. I'm going to praise you when I'm just trying to wake up in the morning and put one foot in front of the other. That's the day to praise God. Why? Because he's not only the God at the end, he's the God in the middle. He can work a miracle in the middle. Thank you, Jesus. But sometimes the miracle in the middle doesn't present itself in the way you want it to. Three ways God can work a miracle I want to share with you today. Number one, the one that we want. God can work a miracle for you. And that's most of the time when we pray, that's what we pray. God, I need you to do this for me. I need you to fix this for me. I need you to provide this for me. And those prayers are fine. That's a part of what God does. Look at the Israelites. He did a miracle for them. He parted the Red Sea. They couldn't do that. There's no way they could have done that. They walked through on dry ground. He closed up the sea behind them. He destroyed their enemy. He destroyed the past that was chasing them. I've preached that before, and I could just stay right there. The fact that in the middle of it, yes, they still had to go through the wilderness, but God destroyed some things that were chasing them. It's a type of baptism. What we understand is they went through the water. When the Israelites walked through the water, their past was destroyed behind them. The same way today, if you've never been baptized in Jesus' name, I would love to baptize you today, because once you go through the water, your past is destroyed. Oh, God. Let someone understand that today. When those Israelites walked through that Red Sea, those Egyptians were hot on their tail. They were trying to do everything they could to catch up and destroy them. But if you read it, the Bible says literally that God made the wheels fall off of the Egyptian chariots. They probably could have won except for the intervention of God. So let me just tell somebody today, if you've never been baptized in the name of Jesus and you feel like your past is chasing you, I want to baptize you in Jesus' name today, because when you're baptized in the name of Jesus, it's nothing natural that happens. What is it? It's a miracle. It's not something I do. It's something that God does. Your past is destroyed. Your past is erased. Your sins are washed clean. That's what happens when you're baptized. God wants to do that for you today. And that is the second thing. God can work a miracle for you. But the second way, sometimes it's more difficult to us to understand. Sometimes the miracle in the middle is the miracle God wants to work in you. And that's what I just said through baptism. That's the miracle in you. You look at a character like Gideon. This was a man that God ordained to lead his people to victory. But where was he when God found him? He was hiding, just trying to get by. The least of a small family, not a man of notoriety, not a famous man, not a strong man, not a big man. No, but the angel had to come to him. And before God could use him, God could do something in Gideon. Before God could do something through Gideon, he had to do something in Gideon. Say, before you can lead this army, you have to have a perspective change about yourself. And so, part of giving today, part of our sacrificial giving, is God doing a miracle in us. Because just like Gideon, he said, mighty man of valor. You're a mighty man of valor. Because at the time, Gideon thought, there's no way I can be the kind of man to lead other people. The angel said, no, you got to fix some perspective about yourself. So here today, you may say, you know what, I've never been that kind of person. I've never been someone that really has gotten involved in missions work. You know what? Then today's the day you need to give, because maybe God wants to begin by doing a miracle in you of shifting your perspective, shifting your heart, shifting your priorities. And what's tough about a sacrificial offering is it should be a little difficult to make the decision. If it's something I can just write and it's easy and it's no problem, it doesn't affect me, is that really a sacrifice? No. And I'm not afraid to preach this strongly, because again, this everything that we give today is going out of these four walls, okay? This is to benefit other people. So I got no problem trying to be as straightforward as possible. This is a heart issue. It is a way to posture our spirit in the right way. God, how do I make sure my priorities are right? Try giving. That'll really make sure if your heart's in the right place. It's easy to talk about it. It's difficult to be about it. Let us not be hearers of the word only. Let us be doers of the word. Sometimes the miracle that God wants to work is the miracle he needs to do in you. Because there's some things, until he changes some things in you, you can't do for him. You're praying for promotion in your life. You're praying for, not even on the job, you just, God, I want to move forward. I want to know what's next. Maybe the answer is not some external thing. Maybe it's internal. There's some stuff I have to do in you first. And then finally, The third thing, God wants to do a miracle. He can do a miracle for you. He has, and he will again. Sometimes God wants to do a miracle in you, but the most difficult one for us to wrap our heart around is the fact that God wants to do a miracle through you. And that's really what today is about. Today is about saying, Lord, as much as I want miracles for me and my family, as much as I want miracles and you to do amazing things, if I want that, then let me be willing to be the person to say, you can use me to do a miracle for someone else. Because guess what? The law of sowing and reaping. It's this, and let me be clear. You see preachers on TV, if you send me $1,000 to this address right now, I'll send you a magical vial of this and that. We don't believe in that. That's not what we're talking about. Now, we do believe in the anointing of oil and laying on of hands. We believe in that. But this is not, if you give X amount of money, I'm going to give you the... No, that, you're missing the point. It's a heart issue. It's a heart issue. So I'm not afraid to ask for you to sow bountifully because that's a law, and God is bound by his laws. So guess what? If we sow bountifully, we will reap bountifully. And here's the deal. If you, as much as we would love for someone to bless us and someone, God, to use somebody just to work a miracle in our life, the place to start is to say, Lord, let me be the kind of person that you can work through. If I want someone to be worked, for you to work on someone and to be a blessing to me, then maybe the first thing is not to pray, God, I pray that somebody will bless me. Lord, I pray that somebody will just bless me. No, the first thing is say, God, let me be the kind of person that blesses others. Let me be the kind of person that you can work a miracle through. And that's the toughest one. Why? Because if our mind is so stuck on the miracles that we want God to work for us, it's really hard to get our perspective on how God wants to work a miracle through us. But that's the kind of perspective that we need to make sure that we're positioned properly. This money is heading out of these four walls all over Sterling Heights, all over Detroit, all over surrounding areas, the U.S. and all over the world. And God can take what you provide and God can work a miracle with it. And there's always a question in here. And look at what I love about this. We've talked about this, the principle of multiplication. John chapter 6, verse 8. This is when there's the so many multitudes of people that have come to hear Jesus. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, there is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. When Jesus said, hey, go get everybody some food. But look at this question he asks. But what are they among so many? Sometimes that's how we feel, even with an offering. Well, listen, I'm not a rich person, so you're preaching about this and making a difference, but, you know, my money, it's that same question. What is this among so many? What is my small amount among so many? But that's not the point. That's not the point. And I don't know the perspective of the young boy, but there's no way that he could have surrendered that food thinking it would feed the multitude. Right? There's no way. But we have a different perspective because we have the word. And we know without a shadow of a doubt what happens when you give things to Jesus. So what's amazing about this is you know the story of 5 loaves and 2 fish, that when they gave it, when it got into the hands of Jesus and he blessed it and he began to break it, it was multiplied and it did exactly what it needed to do. So today, we cannot raise enough money to meet all the needs. That's true. But what we can do is give it to Jesus and watch him multiply it and do more than we could ever do with it. And that's what I'm believing is the miracle that happens today. The miracle that's going to happen today is not because we hit a certain amount, a certain number, a specific number, and we're going to talk about what we give and where it's going. But the miracle that's going to happen today is the fact that we make a decision that, God, I'm going to release something to you. I'm going to release a sacrifice to you because I know that you can do so much more with it than I ever could. That's the miracle. The miracle that God is going to do today. You're going to witness a miracle because the miracle that's going to happen today is the miracle that happens through First Church. And we're not going to know the ripple effects of it maybe until eternity. But I just believe, and could you just believe with your spiritual mind with me today, that you may just walk up to somebody on those streets of gold and they may just say, thank you. You don't know me, but I know that you gave some money to provide for that missionary. And I was able to read the Bible for myself and I was able to come to my senses and see God for myself. I believe there are people that you will never meet, that you will never see until the other side, and they're going to say, thank you for giving because you gave. I was able to see Jesus for myself. That's the miracle that God wants to work. That's the miracle that God wants to work. But before I close tonight, and the musicians can go ahead and come, I want to tell you, there is a miracle killer in our midst. There is a miracle killer in our midst. There was a miracle killer in the people of Israel. Look at Exodus 15. I just read it. It's right after the Red Sea crossing. They're worshiping God. The chapter is basically dedicated to a song of praise unto God. But look at this in Exodus 15, 22. So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Shur. They were there 3 days in the wilderness. 3 days. And they came to Marah. They could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore, the name of it was called Marah. Okay, only 3 days after the most notable miracle in their lifetime. And look at the next verse. And this is the killer. This is the miracle killer. And the people murmured. The people murmured against Moses, saying, "What shall we drink?" And he cried to the Lord. The Lord showed him a tree. He cast it to the waters. The waters were made sweet. Not the point of my message, but I think what's amazing about this is God said, "You think you need water, the most basic necessity? You don't. You need me. If you'll seek me, even more than water, I'll provide." And after that, he said, "Listen to my voice and do what is right in my sight, and I'm not going to punish you like the Egyptians. I'm your God that heals you." But look at Exodus 16, verse 2. They continue on their journey. And the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And I'm not applying this to say, "Oh, don't talk against me, I'm the pastor." That's not what I'm saying. What I see in this is the Bible doesn't identify where, but that critical spirit had an origin point somewhere, but because of our nature, our sinful nature, a murmuring spirit is like an infection. And so it had an origin point. And the murmur of the multitude can mute the miracle. Doesn't stop what God did, but it can mute its effect. And that's the danger that we have as a church body. You face it in your life. Every church faces it. The people of Israel will not exempt from it. And this is just a word of caution. And all the wonderful things God does, a murmuring and critical spirit can mute all the things that God is trying to do. So yes, God wants to work a miracle in the middle, but you're still going to be in the middle. It's very easy. Just 3 days later, they backtracked on what God was doing. And that same spirit is alive today. That spirit that wants to plant a murmur in your mind, in your heart, to doubt what God is doing. And listen to me, because you've been here before. God has worked a miracle before. But because you allowed a murmur to creep into your mind and your spirit, you allowed your perspective to be shifted back away from the miracle and back towards that negative spirit of, "Well, this isn't going to work." And let me just tell you this, because you're going to hear me repeat some things. You've heard me talk about Detroit Hope Center and say, "Okay, we get it. We've heard of it." No, it's important that I'm going to bring that to your memory time and time again, because there's an enemy that wants to sneak into your mind and say, "Well, this didn't happen." No, what happened through us to Detroit Hope Center, that was a miracle. You're going to hear me talk a lot about the fact that God brought me and my family here to Michigan, not out of a place of arrogance, because it's not me. That was God. I'm telling you that it's a miracle. And guess what? Some people say, "Man, we've been through a lot." And there may be people that say, "Hey, what's been going on there at First Church? I've heard there's a lot been going on." Yeah, there's been a lot going on. There's been a miracle going on. And yeah, we've got things we got to get through. Yes, there are things that we will grieve over. Yes, there are things that hurt us. That's true. But when someone asks, "Hey, man, have you been hearing what's happened over there? What's been going on over there?" I'll tell you what it is. It's a miracle. That's what's been happening at First Church. I'm not going to let a murmuring spirit destroy what God is doing, because we might be in the middle, but middle is where miracles happen. We don't have everything figured out, but in the middle, it's not where you get destroyed and sidetracked. No, the middle is for miracles, and God can work a miracle in the middle of your life. Stand with me today. I'm not going to let a murmur break my spirit. God's doing a work. When someone asks the story of First Church, have we been through a lot? Sure. But how do I describe it? It's a miracle. It's a miracle. We're in the middle of a miracle. You may be in the middle, but the middle is the place for miracles. The middle is not the place to give up. The wilderness is not a place to die out for God. The wilderness is a place to have a miracle in the middle. God wants to do it for you today. God wants to do it for you today. In just a moment, I'm going to ask you to get this red envelope, and I'm going to give you some instructions, then we're going to do it together. On the front, you can write your name. This helps us track giving statements and all that. And if you're giving cash or if you want to give today, you can write the amount given on the front, and you can check if you're giving it in person, or if you want to give online, you can check that amount you plan to give, which will help our finance team track what we're doing and forecast. And in a moment, we're going to fill these out, and then we're going to come lay them on the altar, and you can lay it face down so no one sees what you've given. But this is the prayer I want to pray. And for the rest of this month, we're going to talk about some of the miracles God has done through Let's Imagine, share some incredible testimonies. And I didn't really do that today. And we will, because this is what I want to tell you. There are people, I know many of your stories. I don't know all of them. I know many of them. And I know that you need a miracle. You need a miracle. You need God to work a miracle. And you need him to work a miracle for you. And maybe you need him to work a miracle in you. And this is what we're going to do today. We're going to sacrifice, because I want the starting point to be God. Yes, I've got miracles that I need. But if you're going to do a miracle for me, let me also be willing to allow you to do a miracle through me. Today, it's the miracle that happens through us. It goes through our hands to bless the world. And I truly believe, again, this is not a get-rich-quick scheme, but we serve a God that is bound by his word and his principles. If you sow sacrifice, if you sow, you're sowing a miracle today because you're giving it to God. I truly believe that there are miracles that God can work on your behalf. You can't plan it. You can't write a script for it. It's not the way it works. But God is a God of principle, of sowing and reaping. I've seen it happen. So today, if you've never given like this, if you've never given a one-time sum of money to the kingdom of God, I want to challenge you to give it to the Lord and watch what he'll do in your life. You'll be blessed. You'll be blessed of it. And again, I know that unfortunately there are many churches in America and organizations that can give giving a bad rap. This is a missions offering. This is going to help missionaries around the world. This is going to help churches just like Detroit Hope Center. I'm so excited about what God is going to do with this. I can't wait to see the miracles that he performs. Because we're willing to say, God, I want a miracle to happen through me, not just for me. So right now, I want to pray over you, and then we're going to fill out these envelopes. But I want to pray for you right now. Lord, I pray there are people in this house. They need a miracle. They've tried everything else. They've prayed the prayers. They've done everything they can do. They've thought of everything. They've tried everything. They've exhausted every option. But we're not just praying for a miracle as a solution. God, I'm praying that you can do a miracle in the middle of their situation. They may not walk home to the resolution, but God, you're also the God of the middle miracle. So today, Lord, I pray that as we sacrifice, you would go before us and you would work a miracle in the middle of their circumstance, in the middle of their finance, in the middle of their relationship, in the middle of their family, in the middle of their future plans. You can work a miracle. In the name of Jesus, would you take this envelope and would you fill it out? If you want to place that check or money in it, if you want to write what you're going to give online, you can go to our website, firstchurchsterlingheights.com. You can give there. But I want you to begin to fill that out, and then we're going to come down to the front in a moment together, and we're going to lay these at the altar. We're going to pray over them that God would bless them. But if you need a miracle, it may not make sense. It's not a perfect equation, but if you need a miracle, I want to encourage you to give today, sacrifice today, as an act of submission unto God. It's not a give to get. It's a principle of sowing and reaping. God will honor what we do, and God's going to bless it. There are missionaries that we don't even know their name yet, but maybe your offering is going to what's going to give them the ability to go back to their field of mission. It's going to give them the funds to go back to where God has called them to be. Amen. If you have that, what we're going to do is we're going to come around the front. We're going to lay these at the altar, and then I want you to lay them down, and I want you to kind of spread out around the altar, and we're going to pray over all of these offerings. So would you right now at this time, could we come and could we lay these offering envelopes? Could we lay these at the altar and then find a place around the altar, and we're going to pray together. We're going to pray together. Lay these at the altar. In the name of Jesus. You're looking at a miracle, First Church. You're looking at a miracle. You're watching a miracle. You're watching a miracle right now. I believe it. You're seeing a miracle right now. What you're seeing is a miracle. What you're seeing is a miracle. What you're seeing is a miracle. I know this is just paper and envelopes, but there are people that are going to be eternally impacted. So would you just stretch your hands towards the people that these envelopes represent? And would you help me pray over this, that God would bless where this goes, that He would multiply it, because we're giving in faith today. Let's pray together. Lord, I pray. Lord, we give in faith, just like that young man that gave 5 loaves and 2 fish. God, it may not be enough in our eyes, but You can do what we cannot do. Today, God, I pray that You would work a miracle across the globe, Lord. Lord, You see these offerings that people are giving. You see the offerings that they've submitted. God, I pray You would bless. God, You would use it to further the work of God in Detroit. In the name of Jesus, yes, church, can we pray over these envelopes, these missionaries, these churches, these people. God, do what only You can do. We need a miracle. In the name of Jesus. Declare that in the name of Jesus. God can work a miracle in your situation, in the middle of it. If you need a miracle, reach out to God. Yes, our ministry team, will you begin to pray with people? God wants to work a miracle for you today. In Jesus' name, He's a miracle worker. He can work a miracle in the middle. In the name of Jesus.
Miracle after miracle. Open door after open door. Here it comes. Here it comes. So get ready for it.
Can work a miracle in Jesus' name.